We're back. Second half. Second half. We took our little break. Casey Solomon, Phyto Lab. Labs. That's correct. Different.
Yeah.
Phyto Lab. So you're, you're a very well-educated person, and you've decided to work in the cannabis industry here in Minnesota. Are you doing that in part because of your own affection for cannabis, or do you see a deeper mission? Like, what's?
I mean, yeah, twofold, right? Like, the cannabis has been villainized or vilified, right? For far too long. Right.
Yeah.
Look at things, especially in a society where we say tobacco and alcohol are legal.
Fine.
And we can make lots of other arguments.
Cheetos.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly.
You know, I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love Cheetos. Thanks for sponsoring us, Frito-Olay
It is Frito-Olay, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't gotten back to us yet.
Yeah, they're tough. Bastards. They're tough to get.
They're gonna send us some Cheetos, I bet. Once they say no, but
that's how you do it. You just keep shooting out the requests until you get free stuff back.
Thanks for the Cheetos.
We talk, but we don't talk shit
about
them. And then they're like, "Oh, hey, they said something about us. Maybe we should send them some stuff."
Right?
Yeah. I like this, putting this out into the universe.
Yeah. It's all about the vibe.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots and lots and lots of things that are harmful that have not been vilified in the way that cannabis has. So yeah. Right.
So there's part of that to just show that you can be a capable person. You can be a real human being and use cannabis, and that's fine, right?
Yep.
Like, this is not a debilitating thing for anybody, or like in certain cases, right? I'm not going to talk. There's addiction is its own thing. Right. And you can be addicted to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if you have, you use cannabis in a way that negatively impacts the rest of your life, then that could be seen as an issue. Right.
Right.
So, but the same with
use alcohol, that
exercise,
way.
Food, alcohol. Right. Yep. That's the threshold that we have for other substances.
Yep.
So there's that. And then I guess the other two parts are, I see that this is kind of maybe the culmination of where I had always wanted to be with science in doing something that's important for people that I'll see the value of on a daily basis, right? We'll get tests back. We'll give people results. They'll get their products out. Those products will be safe.
Yeah.
Right. We'll have that. I have the background here, and I have a personal affection for the plant.
You understand giant magnets.
Yeah. Giant magnets. Right.
And you're a nurse.
Yes. So
as well.
Yeah.
So when did you go to nursing school?
Oh, gosh. So I started a couple of years ago now.
Yeah.
So I had kind of called it quits in science. I taught for 3 years at St. Olaf. I taught for 1 year up at Metro State. I went into small business. I worked for a startup business here in Minnesota. Then I did another one in California that was cannabis related, where I was the chief scientific officer out there. And then came back here after that one didn't make it, and worked for another startup here. And I was just like, okay.
What kind of startup? Just curious.
The last one?
Yeah.
Med device.
Okay.
So graphene-based med device. I still have stock options. I still hope they do good.
Yeah.
Just we weren't there yet for what I could do.
Yep. Yep.
So, but anyways, I said at that point, I'm like, I've been working for other people for a long time. I don't know that that's working for me in this context where I'm expected. The salary life is a little bit different than hourly life, right? Hourly, you get to disconnect. Salary, you are connected and you're getting paid for your time. And I couldn't disconnect personally from that other stuff.
Yeah,
right. It's too frustrating to watch other people do it in a way that I didn't want it done.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, okay, maybe I'm going to do something else. What area can I have the greatest impact, see a daily value to my work, and that I'm still capable of doing that also has a small educational commitment, right? And so to transition my bachelor's to a bachelor's of nursing was 1 year program. So I said, okay, that I can do, right? I could go back and be an MD. I could go back and try that route, but that's 5 more years at school and I am schooled out. I've got 20-something already under my belt. I'm good there.
Yeah.
So I said, nursing is a pathway
to
get into something that then once I'm a nurse, I can do a ton of stuff,
right?
I can go anywhere. I do cardiac stuff
now. What are you doing nursing? My father was a nurse, my mother, my My brother's a doctor, but my stepmother's a nurse. Yeah. Like everyone I know.
Yeah, nurse. Right, right. Jen.
Shout out, friend Jen.
Yeah. So I'm a cardiac nurse right now. Heart nurse, not maybe heart nurse is the wrong term to use because that has a specific meaning in there. But I'm on the progressive care side, so like not right after surgery for open heart patients and stuff, but like day one afterwards, they're getting moved over to us. We're getting them up and going, making sure that they don't bust their chest back open. That's our biggest concern. They don't fall. They don't do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're still, you know, they just had their chest cracked open. So there's still a lot of concern that their heart's not going to be going, but they're not ICU level. They don't need constant monitoring in the same way. Right. Yeah. So
can
that's
I
the
ask
level
some
that I
silly
do.
Questions about that
yeah.
real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No silly questions, right? They're all good.
Yeah, they usually
getting
are.
Your chest cracked open, right? And doing they still do the whole like rib spreader thing and go in there and do surgery and stuff.
I have not watched it personally, so I will not say that. I see them afterwards, but there is a sternal incision that goes from, you know, basically your clavicles up here all the way down because they do have to. If you're doing a what's called a coronary artery bypass graft or CABG, which is what people consider like an open heart, usually. So you had like a quadruple bypass. That's four vessels in that open heart surgery.
Yeah.
So that is your whole sternum, and then it's opened back up, and then they do whatever magic they do in there, right? It's taking veins from your leg, and then grafting and bypassing around ones that are in your heart.
Yeah.
And then they put you back together, and with all the care that they take you open, they put you back together with what looks like four twist ties.
It does.
Is what's holding your sternum together. If you ever look at the x-rays, it's like these, I'm sure they're made of titanium or something, but they are legit twisted by hand and then folded down or folded around, and then you're stitched over the top of it.
Yep.
So that's what's holding your sternum together until it heals.
Yeah.
Right? It's four twist ties.
Yeah.
And so they're just like,
not even a zip.
No,
it's twisted.
You put a zipper in there, right?
It's twisted. Well, I mean, think about what happens when a zip tie breaks. They happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, but
when you
sense.
twist, it's only because you over twisted it,
right? Yeah, and they have gone to many years of school to know exactly how much to twist.
Yeah,
that's what you're paying them for.
I mean, when you think about it, though, that's like that's a pretty straightforward way to do that,
yes,
you know, to hold it together so that it do they stay in there forever then? Are these permanent?
Yep. They just heals around them, right? They
is titanium,
they suture it, but
is titanium magnetic?
No,
does it have
They do when they do like pins and those types of things, they do non magnetic now. I don't think that they've used magnetic stuff for quite a while since like the MRI tech came out, right? And I'm trying to remember, I think even like. And gosh, don't hold me to this, right? But I think most pacemakers now are good to go in MRIs and stuff. So they just use specific types of metal.
Well, I mean, they sent a couple of space probes out into interstellar space back in 1960 something.
Yeah.
And those are still sending back data. So there's ways they can make, you know, circuitry and things that last. Under the harshest of conditions.
Absolutely.
So the stuff they're throwing in bodies is not magnetic.
Yeah.
Just curious, because that would be...
Wow. I mean, it's a good
thought. Well, it was a thing, right? It was always the person that's like, I got a plate in my head when they were going through security.
Right.
You know? And they're like, well, I've got this and this and, you know, whatever the thing is.
I got a bunch of twisties in my chest.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I'm going to set this thing up. You wouldn't believe it, but it's like I'm a bag of bread.
Yeah.
And they just twist me back together.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? Okay. So we went and did some nursing and still.
And you're still a nurse.
Still a nurse right now. Still doing that.
And where do you work?
So I'm at Regions Hospital.
Okay, great.
So
cool.
And I want to clarify though, because there is a distinction now. Now I'm not a cannabis nurse.
Yeah,
there is special certification for that. I don't know if you've had anybody on your show that's been one, but there is special. It's very recent in the past couple of years. But
and what
there
does
are
a cannabis nurse do?
You know, so they're more focused on like how to use the cannabinoids for specific purposes. As far as I understand, like sleep, pain, you know, nausea, things like that. They will do more of like a profile with you and how to experience cannabis and how
and
to
this is
dose
like a
it appropriately.
Program that they go through to learn this stuff?
Yeah, it's like a master's degree, if I'm not mistaken, for most of them. Maybe a certification for some. Mm. But yeah, so there are officially kind of licensed cannabis nurses. I am not one of those.
Okay.
So I just want to make a clarification.
Medical nurse, though.
Yeah. So I do. Yeah, I do hospital.
I mean, that has been the standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You know. So, but I don't want to claim special knowledge in that area.
Sure. So, right. Do you think it might just be another year
for
to be a cannabis nurse?
Oh yeah.
Not probably. That you want to go to more school. We already talked about that. But yeah. I mean,
I think it is about a year, maybe a year and a half or two for some of these programs. Most of them are kind of online at this point. Again, I know a few people like, in the.
It doesn't sound like your passion, though.
I mean, I love all that stuff. I'm not looking to go back to school again.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's where I'm at. Like, that was kind of my nursing was like, okay, I'm going to be abroad.
Sure.
Broadly applicable. You know, I'm a multi-tool now. Yep. I'm not a specialized tool, except for the testing, which came to me kind of. So realistically, I wanted to do this a couple years back because I was like, the hemp market was blowing up with beverages and everything. And I said, gosh, there's nobody here testing. We had two labs in state, and then, but people could send out of state, right? Because it was legal under the farm bill. But I was like, gosh, people would probably want to just drop it down the street and then, you know, get it tomorrow morning instead of having to pay FedEx or UPS to ship it overnight and then get results back and then not having any visualization. Like, people like to go check out where their stuff's being handled, right?
Sure.
You know, so things like that. So I thought that was like totally viable in 2022, and I will continue to make the argument that it was if anybody had given me money. So, but
it would have been.
It would have been.
It would have been.
We would have gotten enough customers in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin.
Easily.
We would have been able to, we would have been the state's lab right now. Right. If we had been enabled at that point.
Yeah.
But so we weren't, and, you know, things go a different direction. And I backburned all that, all the business plans, financials, all that kind of stuff, just sitting in a folder on my computer. And my father-in-law came to me and said, like, he was retiring, and he's like, I have this consultant that I worked with, and he was a director of microbiology and sterilization at Medtronic. So he's like, okay. I have this consultant that I worked with, and she's expressed interest in like the cannabis space, so you should get in touch with her. And so we did, and that initial conversation is kind of where we decided, like, okay, we can do this. She had the connections within the industry already because she was looking and working in that space, and I had the time, right, and the vision for it. You know, she's doing other things now too. This is not her 100%.
Right.
But
not yet.
Not yet, right? Maybe at some point it could be, but like right now, split attention.
Yeah.
So I was the driving force. I'm the, you know, the person making all the accounts and making all the phone calls and all that kind of stuff. And she's on the micro and sterilization side. So my background's analytical chemistry, which is more like, if you're talking about tests, you're talking about the potency, the terpenes, the pesticides, mycotoxins, heavy metals. That's all on the analytical side.
Yep.
And then you're looking at like micro tests. So salmonella and, the aspergillus stuff, all those types of things, that's her side.
Great.
Right. Okay. So we kind of have both of those things going for us, right? I have a lot of micro experience, but she's got, you know, regulated industry micro experience. Molly Holter is my business partner. She's fantastic. She runs her own consulting company also on the side, doing all kinds of like sterilization and micro work for big companies.
Okay.
Right? I won't say her client list, but like, you know, but names that you would know.
Yeah.
Right.
And some big deals out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of people in the Twin Cities that, you know, big names that need those services, right?
Yeah. How do you think the dust gets on the Cheetos?
Right.
You need somebody like that for that.
Yep. Right.
You wouldn't think
right?
How's the dust get on the Cheeto?
100%. 100%.
Nobody thinks about it.
Yeah. So we came
magic. Delicious, though.
Yeah.
Magic Cheeto
Magic
dust.
Magic Cheeto dust, right?
Yeah.
It's magnetic. The actual puff of the Cheeto is magnetic.
And what did
this
I love it.
Oh, they've magnetized the
Cheeto. They magnetized the Cheeto. And then they demagnetize it afterwards.
No, so your saliva does it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew there was something.
This is true science.
Yeah, it grounds you.
Wait until that short goes out.
Right.
Cheeto dust. Oh my goodness. Back to it.
Yeah. No. So we got together, and we probably started doing this about 2 weeks before the deadline for the application for the social equity round was.
Okay.
So we didn't get in on that.
So fresh.
Yeah. So we started that up, but I was like, we can make some stuff happen. And then luckily, you know, my, again, retired father-in-law now at Medtronic did fairly well for himself and said, like, you know, we'll help you start up this venture, right?
Yeah, amazing.
What we need. And then we finally got some banking to work with us, which has been near impossible for any tangible amounts, right?
Right, because it's cannabis?
Because it's cannabis, because licenses aren't out yet, right? That's a huge one. And just, you know, risky. You know, risky business. I'm still a startup business. I'm pre-licensure, startup, right? Yep. Like, that's a hard sell for most banks on a large amount of money. And we found one that would work with us. And
great.
So we have, you know, we were able to do that. So that's what's made it real at this point. Mm-hmm. So our push right now is to, you know, we have our cannabinoid testing online where we can do kind of R&D stuff. Internal use, home growers. That's a big market that we're targeting right now, is saying home growers, like, if you want to know, you know, what your potency is, and we do all the minors as well, or at least the majority of the minors. Great. So THC, we do CBD, CBC, CBN, CBG, THCV, mm-hmm. and the acid components of all of those, right? Okay. So you can get those full profiles on our machine.
Is it a matter of, like, do you have a like a building somewhere,
yes.
like a facility yeah. that is your building?
We do now.
Does it say PhytoLab?
It does say PhytoLab.
Somewhere.
It doesn't say, it will November 4th when the sticky arrives in the mail.
Yeah. Sure.
But it does. But it doesn't have a big pot leaf on it or anything like that.
No.
I know, right? Yeah. We're not trying to draw a bunch of attention to ourselves. But we do have a facility now. We're looking at just shy of 9,000 square feet that we have.
Wow.
We're in discussions right now to get a clean room space put into it. It won't be effectively like an ISO 8 clean room or anything like that, but just a cleanable room set up that we will clean in the same way for all of our analytical equipment. So it's going to look, going back to like legitimization of the industry, right? It's going to look like a real lab.
It'll look
be a real lab.
And be official.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's our goal.
It's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You know, that it, I mean, it's, it's it, for the industry to move itself forward like that, it's got to look like a legit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has to, I mean, we have an industry standard that we have to live up to, and it's ISO 17025, right? And it's for all analytical labs. It's not specific to cannabis in any way, shape, or form. So if you're doing plant testing for ag, if you're doing soil testing, if you're doing any analytical testing, that's what we live up to. Yeah. Right. So we're operating, you know, in compliance with those, but we still have to get certified from those bodies. And that takes time. And this is where you can get to, like, when are we going to actually have a legal cannabis market and stuff like that, too.
Sure.
But this process takes time. Mm-hmm. Right. If you look it up, it'll tell you 6 to 18 months to get that process start to finish.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, these are long scale things. So currently we can only offer like the R&D testing and stuff like that.
And then home grow stuff, right?
Home grow stuff, right?
So friend Jen grew a plant.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Plant.
Yeah.
Outside.
I mean, we're allowed 8, right?
Mm-hmm. We're allowed 8, 4.
4 in flower and 4 non.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Gosh, just a sponge.
I'm learning.
Right?
I am learning.
Sponge over here.
Yeah.
A sponge in his 50s. that's fascinating that you remember those things. Because it's important, right?
Mm-hmm. I am fascinated by all this. Yeah.
It is. It's super cool. And so this plant was just this beautiful, beautiful plant. But it'd be great to understand what the potency is. It'd be great to understand what the level of miners are in there. It would be great to understand that, somehow within my trimming or somehow within, you know, burping the jars in my basement that something didn't flop on in there that's you can't see with your eye, but you could know with this test, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of things in our lives that we won't go and do because there's some form of barrier there, whether it be a financial barrier, a time barrier, you name whatever the barrier may be, right? So what does it look like for somebody? Like I grow a plant.
Yep.
If you would be able to grow pants, that would be cool. But
imagine that plant.
I know.
And you should be like,
a pant plant?
Yeah, pant plant.
It's a pant plant.
Your backyard.
It's amazing. How did you grow all of that?
Oh, it'd have to.
Your denim looks wonderful.
Like, not like hammer pants, though, or whatever.
Those would be cool, too.
Well, zubas?
Zubas and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, does it come from, is it a zebra pant plant?
I don't know, but okay.
So back to plants. Mm-hmm. Harvest has happened, right? And there's is it twofold? One is, how the hell does it get in there? And then secondary, right? Like, how did I submit to you? And then secondarily, is there a preferred, right? So I don't have zero idea on this answer. I'm not a grower. I'm just, you know, I find people that do,
just, and they benefit from the folks who do.
Amazing.
Right.
You know, we've harvested, we've dried,
yep.
We're curing right now, right? You can grab it off of the plant. You can test it. You can test it anytime in all of this. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah.
But what is the optimal time for somebody to submit their sample?
Mm-hmm.
If there's only one, or if there's a couple of different times that make a ton of sense, then let us know.
I think that the most relevant time for the end consumer is going to be the product they intend to consume.
Right.
Right. So if it's...
Makes sense.
Yeah. If you're smoking flower, then once you've cured, dried, gotten it ready to go, you want to grind it up and start smoking it, that's when you would send it to me. Right?
Okay.
So that's what I would think. The only other time I would think would be super useful for some people is if you are doing some kind of extraction process, like you're making weed butter or anything like that. It might be useful to know before you start kind of how much to expect that you're going to get out. And at the very least, it would be probably very good for most people to actually test like the final butter, just a little bit of that to know milligrams per gram when they're dosing their final product.
Right.
Right. So if you're interested in the science of the extraction and you're trying to optimize that process, do you test before and after? If you're just interested in, you know, how do I make sure that this brownie doesn't, you know, keep me locked in my house for the next 24 hours?
Right.
Right.
We've talked about those brownies.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody. If you haven't had one, it doesn't mean you have to.
No, you don't have to.
Don't do it.
You know, I had some fun, but you know,
sure.
It's but you wouldn't, but like,
Glandra had some thoughts, if I remember correctly.
Let your tolerance work up in the five milligram market.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that's the general like push for most people is like, if I've known many stories where it's just like, again, oh, I took a little bit, I didn't feel it, I took more, and then I really felt it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just not smart for most people who are naive to cannabis.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, like, go slow and slow, right? You didn't down a bottle of whiskey the first time you drank.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. You had a drink, and you were like, okay, and then I had another one, and then you probably had too many. But.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? But at least you started
slow.
But you
had so much fun.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Until you didn't.
Slow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're not 21 having a bourbon, a scotch, and a beer.
Yeah.
Which I have done with a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The market that is opening up, the much, much larger market that's opening up, is people who are going to consume in 5-milligram doses.
Yeah.
Not people who are going to smoke a ton of pot. Like,
there's...
Right.
The people who enjoy... smoking pot. I mean, there will be people who age into that, you know, there will still be a market out there of people who want to smoke pot. But the much, much larger market is the person who wants to stop by the same place they might buy alcohol and say, you know what, I'm going to go with this instead.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
But that's where the testing and.
Right. Yeah, and ultimately, right, like our market is the certificates of analysis. That is like what we would call a full spectrum panel, right? Where you
that's a great name.
Yeah, right.
Full spectrum cannabis panel.
I wonder where we got it.
Full spectrum.
What? So yeah, exactly.
So
perfect.
But how does somebody get their sample to you,
and
then
we
can continue.
Yeah. So we have our website up and running right now. So basically, we have like a list of instructions on there, broken out into like four steps. Effectively, you would come on, you would identify what type of test you want, right? Mm. So do you have a gummy that you already have? Do you, are you testing flower? Do you have a concentrate or an isolate, or even in the case of like a beverage, right? We can test beverages. So you identify what type of sample. There's slightly different price points for each of those because there's more sample prep involved in some versus others, right? So you pick your samples, and then you purchase just through a standard web interface, right? You identify one.
So you go right on the website and say, check the box, check the box, check the I'm checking out, just like
just Amazon. Like that. Sure. Yep, exactly. So that's also the service piece of it, right?
Yeah. Right.
We all wish, you know.
I could get what up, AWS? Let's go.
Yes.
Okay.
But so, yeah, so you go on there, you make your order. The other piece of paperwork we want you to fill out is called a chain of custody.
Yep.
COC, right? And that just gives us more information about your sample, right? Like, first and foremost, where do we send the results, right? Yep. Who do we send it to? And then other things like, what do you call it? What batch is it to you, right? Yep. Like, is this the third time you've grown this plant and you want to know between 1, 2, and 3, which one was the best?
Sure.
You know, little things like that that aren't super crucial. And then
until,
any other notes.
Until
they are.
Until they are.
Right.
And then they are crucial as far as batch and fun things like that. When you're scanning a QR code that's on a product that has to have the QR code in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. 100%.
Then it has to match the batch.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's a big, you know, that'll be a big thing for us in that when it gets down to that is making those, what do they call them? Non-fungible. Right. Not mess up. Yeah. You can't mess with them that you're going to know as soon as you scan that that's bogus. That connection is correct. Not correct.
Yep.
Right. Something's not going to match on there.
Yep.
But anyways, as far as like people getting samples to us now, you fill out that COC that just gives us more information about everything and how to get back to you and all that. And then you are going to drop your sample off.
Yep.
Right. So you're going to get it. And, you know, we're getting packaging put together that's going to be little containers that you'll drop your sample into, and then they'll just close, or they'll be like the little weed bags that they have now for like an eighth. You'll drop your bud into there. And we'll talk a little bit more about sampling in a second. But we're looking at like 1.5 to 2 grams. If you're buying eighths at a time, that's a lot. If you're growing plants, it's very little. Right. If you have a whole plant, you know, 1 or 2 grams is not going to. It's not going to significantly impact your harvest, hopefully.
So right now we're just doing potency and minors.
Yep.
Right? And terpenes, you were saying.
No terpenes yet. Yeah. Okay. So that's another level.
Terpenes are coming. And full panel
is
coming. So that's your microtoxins and all of the other fun things that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like, what is it? So what's it cost me?
Yeah. So that is, we are still like in that set of discussions. Today it's going to cost you $37.50 to do a flower cannabinoid profile.
$37.50.
$37.50. We've got
saying 3,000.
No, I mean,
I kind of knew it wasn't that.
Yeah. Sometimes you're writing different levels of checks, and you know, $37.50 is something that comes up a decent amount when you're talking about sponsorships.
Yeah.
You know.
There you go.
So I mean. It's not going to be $37.50 for a
sponsor. So $40.
Yeah, $40 right now. We're hoping that's our like startup sale-y type price. We're hoping to keep it under $50
because I think great. $50 is. I have a sample for you already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing.
No, I mean that's very approachable.
Yes.
Like if you're growing a plant in your backyard, you're taking all summer long to do all the things you have to do, and you really want to know about it.
Right.
$50 is well worth it. I would say.
For sure.
And that's my goal here, right? We're going to charge industries, you know, more because, so like the home grower, what do they really want to know? They want to know their potency, right? What does industry want to know? They want to know that somebody's got their back.
Right.
If they get challenged down the road.
Yep.
Right. That comes with more validation testing. That comes with more risk on our side for things and everything. So their pricing is going to be different. But if you're a home grower in Minnesota, or even if you're like a startup business that's trying to like get break into the space, right? We're going to keep that. If you want something that, again, we can't do COAs right now, but if you want something that approaches the style of testing that you will get for a COA, we can do that as well.
Right. But it's not.
It's all it's not like substitute. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that doesn't work, but we can get you information. So as a secondary test, right? So you've got your main, right? So I've got my main tests, but when we want to look at shelf stability, making sure that there isn't anything falling out of suspension, making, you know, all of that kind of stuff that we've talked about on previous episodes that we don't need to get into right now, but the secondary test for me, I pull a four pack every single time there's a batch, I pull a four pack, yep. right? And it just sits there with a sticky note on it to when I decide I'm going to do something about it. Mm-hmm. But I can, now that I have four of them, I can test it 6 months. Probably not going to have to worry about it because the batch is gone and sold mm-hmm. through. Thank you, Minnesota and beyond.
Yep.
But then I can test at 6 months on a batch that's already gone, that's not even probably living in the world, but who knows? It might be in Sam's cupboard,
mm-hmm.
right? Either way, great for me to be able to understand
yeah.
what potency looks like at that point.
Six months down the road.
Yeah, 6 months, yeah, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, right?
I mean, like, do these have expiration dates on them?
Technically, no, they don't right. have expiration
dates. But we're going to have to figure out all that stuff at some point.
Don't, yeah, so there will be like a, as far as I understand the way the current rules are set up,
right.
there's going to be like a shelf life, like sell by.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
that's what people are going to do. But the reality is that people are going to want to get their stuff on the shelves. They're going to assume that it's going to move in days
yeah.
and not months. They're going to test it for 2 weeks, show it's boop, boop.
Yeah.
You know, we're good for 2 weeks. If you don't sell yeah. it, you got to throw it away or whatever the,
yeah,
you know, then it goes gray or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, that's what people are going to do at the beginning.
Yeah. Just I mean, test it's just it like anything else.
Yeah. Minimal viable product. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At that point. So, but again, in the testing space, like you're right, like doing long-term testing, but even things like while the batch is running, right? While sure. people are developing new recipes and stuff like mm-hmm. that, you have to dial in. When you get a new piece of equipment that hasn't been coated with all of your THC stuff already, you're going to have to figure out how much you're losing on each batch as you go through. And you want to be able to do that right away. Right. You want to be able to, you want me to, and so what we do offer too is we can come to you, right? We sit there as you're doing your batch, you can siphon it right off your bright tank into our sample thing. We will prep it, run it 15 minutes later, you can know. So your bright tanks aren't sitting for days at a time to redose,
sure.
right? Yep. Or if you get your canning facility goes down and you've got to hold it for 10 days, right? We can tell you if you got to redose. And then you don't have to go through the whole big process for the COAs again. Right. You just know we're just dosing.
We potency test before we can.
Right.
And almost, as far as I know, almost everybody is doing the exact same thing.
And
because you come back and then all of a sudden your can says this, and now all of a sudden you're getting the sticker labeler out, and that's no fun when you're talking about thousands and thousands of cans.
No.
Yeah.
Right? No. So we can save you. The idea is hopefully that lab testing, I'm not saying PhytoLab in specific, but like lab testing in general should be seen as like a preventative cost-saving measure.
Agreed.
Right. We can come in and we can, you know, again, with our experience in the industry, most people that are in this don't know what they don't know, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come in and tell you how to grow. I'm not going to tell you how to do production. What I'm going to tell you is that's a potential for contamination. This process is not going to be, you know, viable for you long term if you don't want to have to be throwing away a third of your batches because you don't mop your floor right or whatever it is.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. Or you don't have the drains in place or like where is your place to wash people's hands? Like we know more about that stuff as well. We know the technical side of the testing, like we want, you know, but we figure broader scale, right? I get more tests when you do better.
Right.
Right. You are the better business. Your product is out there. You're never having to fail. Like, I want to help people never fail because that's an awkward conversation I got to have. You know, like, sorry, you got to throw away $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 worth of product.
Right.
Some cases, millions if you really
screw something up. Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, we cost, you know, a few grand, but if we can tell you that that's $10 million worth of worries off your plate, then, you know, maybe we come out.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
So, and that's kind of where we're shooting for with the business side of it.
Mm-hmm. So is getting PhytoLab to the point of being, you know, what it eventually is going to be, is that I'm guessing that one part of it is you're waiting for the state to just to do certain things.
Yep.
And then another part of it is, like, this is all just fancy equipment you have to mm-hmm. buy and learn, you know.
Yeah.
And get set up, ready on and
validated.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is twofold, right? We are looking to operate in a way that is currently legal within the state.
Yeah.
Right. So we are not testing recreational cannabis in any way, shape, or form for like consumer
to be consumption, sold.
To be sold. Yeah. Right. Perhaps. Like we're just home growers and we're doing R&D internal stuff because the state hasn't given us the numbers that we actually need.
Yep.
I don't know what pesticides we're looking for. I don't know what the thresholds that they want to know at. I don't know what other chemicals they want us to test for or specifics. Like, I have a broad idea. We know sort of what the medical side is doing and kind of these general things, but it's going to be more. Like, the lists are too short.
The rules aren't all drawn up yet.
They are not all drawn up yet. And we're attempting, as well as other people in like the testing area in space, which there's not many of us, right? Like, it's very under, if you looked at the numbers for the social equity round, 5 applications out of 50 spots, it's the only one that didn't fill, right, was testing. Mm. So there's not, and then Kentucky had 2 that applied for their whole state.
I mean, let's be fair though, this whole testing side of things is ultra important, but it also requires it requires advanced degrees, and there are other places you could, I'm sure that there are jobs you could get that pay a lot of money that aren't this risky. So why would a lot of people get into testing?
Well, and again, and I mean, there's still the stigma around it. You've spent all these years putting letters behind your name.
Yeah.
Right. And then to come out and say like, oh, I like
cannabis,
Right. Then you there's a risk there. So I think that's why you don't see as many credentialed people as there should be.
Yeah.
And if, especially as many credentialed people as, exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or any other industry is talking.
They're not talking about it. They exist. They are part of it. They are working on it.
Mm-hmm. They'll come when the money's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're in the mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes.
Yeah. And this is still the same issues, right? If you step out of Minnesota, right? Wisconsin doesn't feel the same about cannabis as Minnesota does.
Yeah.
Right. So there's just a whole different, you got to always worry about that.
And are you part of the this caucus thing that
Adi's working on? We're trying to put some of that stuff together just so that we can be.
I've only made it to one meeting. Yeah. Were you there the other day? No.
Not yesterday, but last week I was.
Do you know about it?
No.
Okay, so
I think you mentioned something about something.
We'll get you and Calandra involved too. Yeah. But it's just a business owners caucus to help advocate for legislation, legislative policy that makes sense and helps preserve kind of the craft cannabis industry in Minnesota.
Yeah. How do we make sure somehow you don't make some form of rule or regulation that just goes bye.
Pushes us.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So. Yep. So, I mean, all of this stuff is important. And I think that Minnesota is doing a really cool thing with cannabis.
I love the idea, right, in what they're doing. And I think that we need, especially on the testing side, I have not pushed back against any of the regulation that they're putting down on it. Cause I'm like, we need these things. It needs to be safe.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm a firm believer in we don't need to reinvent the wheel either, right? There's a lot of other states that are most of the way to what we want to do. Like, instead of making a new wheel, why don't we make super cool rims for the wheel that we already have
out there?
And again, I mean, they're in a position that's unenviable, right?
Yeah.
And the people that have been put into those positions are explicitly not cannabis people. Right. Because you could not be a long term bureaucrat and be a cannabis person.
Right.
Right. And that's not a slight on anybody. It's just a reality. But, if they were doing tobacco or alcohol, they probably have an idea or some exposure. Mm-hmm. But they're regulating something they have very little exposure to.
Yeah.
Well, and also not that are they using, are they enjoying what is their history with it?
Yeah.
Right. Like. Oh, so, well, when I was, when I was in college is what you usually hear.
Me.
Right? Yeah. You usually hear when I was in college. And so when you were in college is way different than now when you would be in this type of capacity with the state of Minnesota. And the state of Minnesota still, to my knowledge, is requiring drug testing.
I think it depends. Now, that's
probably,
I'm not 100% sure. I know that. In area, there's certain areas that still can drug test, right? But for the broad scale, I think in employment, at least, that they have put something down that says you can't test in that context
for employment. Lovely.
Yeah.
Good.
So yeah. I think you can still test after, like if somebody gets in an accident,
well, yeah,
and determine sure. whether they were under the influence. Sure. That's a much more complicated,
that's a whole
you know, testing, you know, regimen as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you actually do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So a lot of stuff with that, but I'm hoping at least, and my understanding is that we are free from that.
That would be an
employment here.
Yeah. I was more just thinking it was kind of funny because I had seen like a posting that said, well, drug free workplace. And
oh yeah.
And I'm like, but that's for the Office of Cannabis Management.
Yeah.
Like how, so the people that go out and are the inspectors and right now we're just informing folks mm-hmm. and things like that. And you go into a retail location, you're like, well, this certificate of analysis that's in here doesn't match this batch code and whatever is going on there. That person gets drug tested? Like, I mean, right? What?
Right?
I mean, I suppose, but I hope not. You're probably working at, you could probably work at General Mills in some, like, high-end capacity, high-end job.
Well, I mean, this is legal. And,
well, yeah. Correct, but it doesn't, but if it's private, if it's a private
I know,
company,
I know.
Corporation, public traded, none of those things actually matter. They get to make their mind up on yeah. what they want it to yeah, be, yeah. right? But if it's the state, mm-hmm. that's more what I was talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and they're looking for people right now at the state that
yeah.
they're trying. It seems like they are trying to bring in some experience. But again, it's tough if there is like a drug test. I don't yeah. know if there is. Like,
I
but
mean,
you're just like
probably isn't.
It's the same idea like as to why skateboarding at the Olympics is no good. Right. Because everybody who skateboards smokes weed and they can't pass the Olympic drug test. So that's why Tony Hawk is not the Olympic skateboarder, right?
That's why they're all 12.
Yeah, yeah,
they're all 12 right? because they can pass it.
Drug test.
They can pass it.
You know? And so it's just one of those things where, you don't get the best group of people at that if you're imposing arbitrary restrictions, especially right. that are related to their line of work.
Correct.
Right?
To yeah. We're going to have to, I mean, so. Things are changing. Yes. That's the whole point. Yeah. You know? And
this is the start.
It right? is.
This is the start. All of us want to be in the end zone already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's all right. We're on the field.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're on the field. We're making some plays. Yeah, sure. The ref's like, every once in a while. But we at some point in time, mm-hmm. we're going to hit that end zone.
I mean, largely incarcerating people for marijuana hasn't happened for a few years, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like largely, not a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
I mean,
still a thing.
It's still a thing, but
people
it's not
are, yes.
not for minor quantities of
correct.
You know, just like
mm-hmm.
like the old days
yeah.
where it was like you had to be really worried that you had any with you.
Should yeah. we test it? Right? Like just be like Lance is out driving around and he's got 3 ounces on him and just see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't
I'm
know
not
that
going
I
to.
I don't know that I want to figure it yeah. out, but am I going to county? Right?
Who knows?
I mean, should we call the sheriff? Should we have the sheriff on?
So
that's a good idea. Let's get the sheriff. Ooh,
right?
Wonder what we could pull off there.
Let's get a sheriff on. Why not?
Sounds great.
I mean, everybody's going to have to figure out how to make all of this work. It's
right.
that's the world we're in. Is
yeah.
things have changed, or they're in the process of change, and mm-hmm. and we've got to figure out how to work together and not screw it all up again. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not going to be the same as it was.
No. It's certainly not. And I think that, like, especially in the testing area, there's no room for, like, Wild Westing it, right? Like, we need the, when we're talking about, like, being on the field and everything, mm-hmm. too, right, testing is the choke point for, like, getting down the field.
Right.
Because without testing, without this component of it, you cannot legally sell your product.
That's right.
And yeah, you're on the bench.
Cannot yeah. and should yep. not.
And should know? Not, right?
Agreed.
You know, and then when it becomes legal recreational cannabis, you cannot move it across state lines. Otherwise, it becomes a federal crime. So all of the places that we can send current ones to in Arizona and California and Colorado and North Dakota, and you know, we can't do that anymore.
Right.
So now the state has one and right. a half facilities that are doing it right now. And they are doing it for just the medical side,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. And not... like they're not building out a new facility right, to do the recreational stuff. So they might be saturated or close to saturated with that. So then where do all the Island Pezzi stuff come in?
I know where.
Northern Tribes, right?
Yeah, like, at Phyto Lab.
Yeah.
Well, and then four others, that, apparently.
Well, yeah. Well, and again, we probably need 10. Right. Yeah. So that's probably the issue right now is that even if I get up and going, I'm not like, this is not cheap equipment.
No,
right?
No.
We're talking over $1 million worth of equipment alone just to get these things running. So I can't just double my production overnight.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big outlay for me. Mm-hmm. So I have to start slow. And so we need 10 to 15 labs starting slow and building out, you know, to service the needs that
some
will
of
come
them
up.
Some of them will, you know, fail, and then people, you still have enough.
People will go up and down. I mean, that's, you have to have more try than you ultimately will get, right? Because there's always going to be some attrition in there, even just family stuff, right?
Like
something bad could happen to one person, and, that business goes away. It doesn't have to be a bad business, right? So we need more. We need more. So anybody who's interested, talk to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, can we get some more labs going? Anybody else got some extra scratch laying around?
Right?
let's start a lab.
I mean, I've
100%
feel about ready to.
I know. Yeah, all you got to do is find the smart people to do it.
To
you
run
just
it.
Need to have
get
the
in.
Cash.
Yep.
Right?
Just the cash.
Too.
Okay. That's
seven
about
hours into this.
Oh yeah,
it's about as much fun as we can handle. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Well, good.
That's
part of our thing.
I'm learning a lot all the time, actually, about the old cannabis industry here and how it's working.
Mm-hmm. We'll just get Sam a couple of seeds, for next to his fence for next year.
I mean, it's they call it weed for a reason, right? If you like, you just need sunlight and water and dirt, and it'll grow, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can make it better or worse.
Yeah.
Okay. But it'll grow for you.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah, that's what
I
hear.
Good fun. Yeah. Get your hands in the dirt.
Excellent.
I like it. All right. Well, Casey, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your knowledge. And
absolutely.
I mean, this, we did start this show early on when I was thinking about this, I was thinking that we would be like cannabis news, but we're not fast enough. You know, like
you can't get enough information across.
No, we're like so it's turned into just stories from those in the industry in Minnesota, and highlighting people who are doing this work. Mm-hmm. In you know, I like that.
I like that too.
I like it. It's been great. So really good to get to know you better, and I look forward to visiting your lab someday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.